Well, hello, everybody. It must be Sunday because I'm here, you're there, and we got Brian on the other side of the looking glass.
Oh, yeah.
There we are. And so here we are. So hope you got some good questions for me today. Computer here is being very slow. And considering I have no computer suave, this is even painful for me. Like, really, really. So I wanted to bring up some trivia questions, but no. Having one heck of a time with it. So, oh well, we'll get through it. More dad jokes. Well, now my, here you go. Okay, don't touch it. Okay, the Vikes, they won. But it was a squeaker.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Oh, did you watch the World Series last night, Boston and, I forget, was it Texas? I can't remember.
Yeah, Houston.
Yeah, okay, and yeah, and then with two grand slams. In the first two innings, two grand slams. Eight, what's the score?
Yeah, it was
third
like...
Third inning, what's the score? 8-0. Eight in the...
Yeah, I saw they were like 9-0 yep. In like the bottom of the fourth or top of the fourth, in the fourth inning. Yep. And then they came, or Houston made a comeback.
Yeah. But they didn't not come back enough.
No.
Hey, we all do that at times, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
So, yep, this week, everybody's healthy. Everybody's where they're supposed to be, so that's a good thing. And there, there's my glasses. I'm like, glasses. My Avalanche, my 03 Avalanche, and I don't know if I shared this with you. She had a little bit of gut problem. Like, the gut problem she needs a new engine. And I refused to give her up because she's a beautiful royal blue, and I just love driving that thing. And so it's like, but this is what's interesting. I wanted a recon engine, you know, a recondition.
Yep.
If I wanted to wait 3 to 4 months, possibly I could get a recon engine.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, no, thank you. So we just got, I guess the mechanics have their places that they go to. And so they found me one. And so I don't put many miles on. I go nowhere. I go to Forest Lake, White Bear, once a week here. So I might put 8,000, maybe 9,000 miles a year, you know, on my vehicle.
I feel like that's standard though, right?
So, say again?
Isn't that pretty standard, like around under 10,000 a year or something?
I really don't know. All I know is I don't do that. But anyway, so I'm hoping keep your fingers crossed that she will come out by Wednesday and Thursday feeling just fine. I told the mechanic, I've never worked with him before. It's a friend of a friend. But anyway, so when I told her, I said, when I left, I said, now you give her a hug and a kiss every night. And so he just looks at me like, nah. But yeah, what can I say? I get attached. I've always gotten attached to my vehicles. Always. I have a really hard time letting them go. And then with the price of vehicles right now, and a lot of the lots don't want to talk to you unless you got something to trade in. You know, if you got something, they're willing to talk. But if you don't have nothing to do, you know, then they're looking for those people. There's not much out there. And then I worry about with all the floods and the, you know, that have been going on, that a lot of those, I know you can look up the history of a car or whatever. And, you know, I'm just worried that I'm going to get one that sat in water for like, you know, a month. Yeah. And so I don't know. I just, it is what it is. If I can get 3-4 more years out of it, the body's really in good shape. The interior's in really good shape. So just keep our fingers crossed. And I want to give a shout out to Lori Holmberg and Joan McElmery. I can never, McElmery, I think. Lori and Joan, I've known them for a while, and they're so nice. You know, they'll send me Christmas cards, birthday cards. They're listeners probably since the beginning of, you know, FM 107. And they just sent me Halloween cards, and I would just smile in a package. I opened the package, and I did not know this. Now, I know you have a peanut allergy, but the thing is they sent me salted nut rolls. Now, ready for this? Mm. There's apple pie salted nut roll. There's spicy salted nut roll. There's cinnamon something salted nut roll.
Huh.
And then a regular peanut butter nut roll, and then a regular nut roll. I had no idea. I don't know where I've been on a rock that I didn't know that they came in those different roles. It's very interesting. So I want to thank Lori and Joan. That was really, they've been so thoughtful. And then they fill me in on their grandkids and their kids and stuff like that. So it's very, very thoughtful. So I appreciate it. Today, a couple things that I want to talk about is dog Gilligan has Cushing's. So I'm trying to do it natural to bring him around. So I'm going to talk a little bit of what I've been doing And then maybe if anybody, you guys are dealing with Cushing's, not you, the dog, that I can help you out. And then why do dogs dig in beds, couches, on carpets? You know, why do they sit there and scratch? Because a gal that took my classes, Hershey, that's the dog's name. But anyway, asked that. So I thought we'd address that because a lot of people wonder with that same thing. And then, of course, whatever questions you've got. And then another person I'm very fond of, one of my friends, Sue Baldwin. She lost Josie about 6 months, her King Charles Spaniel. She was about 13 and a half, I think. But anyway, and so she had an opportunity to maybe buy a breeder dog. And she did, she put down some questions. And unfortunately, I must have skimmed over the email, the first one. But she resent me the questions that she wanted to ask the breeder about, you know, a breeder dog. This dog had been breeding or having puppies for 5 years. So it brings up a good thing to think, ask about is that, okay, when you buy a dog from a breeder, what should you look for? So I want to talk about that. And then I got these lists of questions that Sue put together, which I think all of you should ask if you're going to buy a breeder dog. And that means one, now, okay, it's one thing to buy a puppy from a breeder. I'm talking about when you buy the breeder's, one of the breeding dogs that either for some reason isn't breeding backed or something, okay? So we want to talk a little bit about that. So hopefully you'll have your ears on. And remember, all the shows here on mytalk1071.com are podcast, where you can catch our past shows. You can just go to all our show pages and then click and you can listen to past shows. So that's the same thing with today. So hopefully you can do that. And then I'm trying to think. Nope, I think that's about it. Yeah, no, that's it. So the big thing now with dogs that dig in their beds or their couches or carpet or whatever, okay, that comes from the ancestry of dogs. So they would sleep in caves, and a lot of times they would fluff up the dirt or fluff up the leaves or whatever so it's more comfortable to lay down in. They will spin one way to, you know, get it to go that way, and then they'll spin the other way, and eventually when it feels just right, then they'll lay down, and then they usually curl. A dog curls to go sound asleep. It's nature's way of protecting their vital organs, that if something would come up behind them at night or surprise them at night, they would only get like their back, the neck, their butt, but not a vital organ. All right. And maybe they have a chance to defend themselves. But but usually the older the dog gets, the more they have a tendency to fluff their bed because their joints hurt a little bit more. They're looking for a little bit more cush. And so that's why dogs like dig at the carpet. It's just kind of an instinctual thing. Even though like they're digging at the carpet, you're like, well, you can't really fluff the carpet up anymore. But in the dog's head, it's going through the motion is what it is. There are some dogs too that will do that in their kennels, you know, fluff up, turn around, or move all the blankets to one side and then sleep on the other side, you know, not on the blankets. All it is a dog's preference. It's just kind of like, you know, when I was young, probably when you were younger, but anyway, we could take a sleeping bag and sleep on the cement and be able to get up, number one, off the cement floor after you slept on it. But anyway, it would be no big deal, you know, because our bodies are just more limber and not stressed out yet. And then as we get older, you find out, try to get down to the floor and let alone lay on it and then get up from it gets a little bit harder. And so that's why, like I say, as the dogs get older, they have a tendency to fluff, you know, whether it be the couch, whether it be their bed, whether it be the floor, the carpet. And it's just something that is in their genetic makeup. Some do it more as far as and more often than others, and some never do it. So anyway, so that's why dogs try to fluff up and, you know, their beds, turn around one way, turn around the other way, because that's instinctive to them. That's something that God put into their head. Just like some dogs have a higher prey drive than others, some are really major squirrel chasers and some aren't. And it doesn't really have to do with the breed. It has to do with the personality of dog. Okay. All right, we're going to run. So hopefully you guys got some question for me. 651-641-1071. That's 651-641-1071. All right, here we go. What's the best way to watch a flying fish tournament? What's the best way to watch a flying fish tournament? We'll be back. Hello. Yes, Katie K9 here. Whoops, I picked up the wrong thing. All right. Where are we at here? Okay. What's the best way to watch a fly fishing tournament? Remember, this is dumb dad joke.
In the riverbank.
Oh, close. So, live stream. That's how you watch fly fishing on tournament. All right. There we go. Okay. Let's head to the phone lines.
All right. So our first caller is Jackie, a caller from last week, and she has an update on her foster puppy.
Excellent. Hi, Jackie. How you doing?
Fine.
Good. So what's the update?
Your advice worked like a charm. It took him twice in the car, and he was in the car and never had a problem anymore.
Excellent. Well, why don't you remind my listeners what the problem was?
It was, we are fostering a puppy that is going to a serviceman, and he wouldn't get in our car. We had to almost drag him in the car, and then you told me to put treats on the floor, and he climbed right in and then right up on the seat, put a seatbelt on, and he was ready to go.
Excellent. Good. Sometimes things work.
Yeah, and it was really good because I've called you before because my husband chased after a puppy we had one time.
Okay.
And you said, oh, he played the biggest game puppies like to play.
Yes.
Chase,
you got it.
Come and get me.
Come and catch me if you can. Catch me if you can.
Yeah.
I'll be dang. So, I am so glad that
anyway,
worked out.
Yeah, it did. It worked out slick.
All right.
So I just wanted to tell you that.
That is so kind of you to let me know that and let my listeners know that sometimes I do get things right.
No, you get things right a lot.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
And we appreciate it. I know who to call if I have a problem.
There we go. Ghostbusters. I know that word and that song. You have a grand day, Jackie. Thank you so much for checking in. Bye-bye. Yay, it worked. Yep, that's the whole thing. If you constantly pick up your dog and put him in the car, they're going to look at you like, I have to go in the car now. You're going to put me in there. Every dog knows how to get in and out of a car. You just got to approach it correctly. And the way they build cars nowadays is really tough. And so you got to, most of the time, what you want them to do is start out to go from the ground to the floor and then to the seat, okay? And the best thing to do is there's usually more room in the front seat, even though you may not want the dog to ride in the front seat, but to get them, used to going in and then eventually transfer it to the back. So, yeah, baby steps, folks, baby steps. So don't just ram them in there or pick them up and throw them in. That's not going to help your cause in any. It's got to be the dog's idea. And you know I'm not a treat trainer, but I use treats if dogs have an aversion to something, and then we phase it out. And usually within a week, if not, sometimes it's within 5-6 treats later, I don't need them anymore because the dog's like, oh, I got this. And all's right with the world. Hey, you got a question? Give a holler. 651-641-1071. Who's up?
All right. We have Tina on the line, and she has a question about getting a heartworm positive dog.
All right. Hi, Tina. How you doing?
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
We are looking to adopt, having recently lost our companion of 13 years to cancer.
Bummer.
Yeah, it was time. She had a good life.
Oh, that's good.
But the dog that we are currently looking at is listed as heartworm positive.
Okay.
She's in a shelter in Texas, mm-hmm. and they work with a shelter here in Minnesota to bring those dogs up.
Yep.
They use something called the MoxiDoxy protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if you've heard anything about that or if you have any feelings on what it's like to adopt a dog who's heartworm positive.
I'm not sure about the MoxiDoxy thing. I have not. I do not know about that. But the thing is that if the dog hasn't had it very long, it's not a big deal. You know, if the dog has had it for a long, every case is different. Usually they're staged. I think that it goes up to four stages. And obviously if it's in the early stage, when they treat it, it's no big deal. But see, the bigger thing, what makes heartworm kind of scary sometimes if it's in the later stages is that when they kill the worms, that they when they start dying, all right, then what happens is that's why you dogs that have had a bad case of it, they've got to keep the dog calm and steady because mm-hmm. it pumps the blood through, and because these worms are dying, they're kind of like in a bunch mm-hmm. if the case is really bad, that can cause, with any exertion on the dog's part, can cause a blockage to the heart, with these dead worms. and then mm-hmm. they could die. Okay. But if it's a very mild mm-hmm. case, you know, usually most vets up here, what I understand is they, you know, the monthly warmer that we give them, you know, heart guard, whatever, they usually just up the dose and treat it that way. That's what I've heard. Okay. I've never had a dog, you know, be heartworm positive. And so that's why, so as far as, you know, should you, is there going to be any repercussion or we don't know. That's in God's hands. You know what I mean? The, you know, one dog can have it and be perfectly fine and live to be 20 years old. And another one, you know, but, you know, it's just a chance you take as far as how it affected them and how bad. Okay. Did they stage the case?
They have not.
Okay. Okay.
I've talked to the shelter rep here in Minnesota, and she's trying to get some more information from the person who's fostering in Texas.
Okay.
But I don't have that information at this time. I know the dog is roughly 3 to 4 years old.
And what kind?
I've had a case of, or a litter of puppies, and then was tested and found to have the heartworm.
Okay. What kind of dog, what breed?
She is Malinois and cattle dog, as far as they can tell.
Huh? Malinois and cattle dog. Well, that now that's a rarity.
Because gorgeous looking.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. But see, the Malinois, they are not. That's not a very popular breed because they are such a smart, awesome dog that you don't find many crosses with Malinois. And
she's got the mahogany and black coloring.
Okay.
Indicative of some Malinois, so I think that's why they're giving that guess.
Well, but my guess would be more a Mountain Cur. Okay, because a Mountain Cur, look up a Mountain Cur once, okay? And that's very prevalent in the South, the Mountain Curs. And so that, but yeah, because a Malinois cross, that would be, and I'm sorry, but a lot of the rescues get it wrong.
And so, with our past rescues, right. And so, now, DNA panel right away.
The DNA panel, you can't really trust that either. And the reason is because what all dogs start from was a gray wolf, a European gray wolf. And they don't even have that in the DNA. So how can you? And so also too, all dogs are related to each other. And that's why you can look at a St. Bernard and the DNA panel will come back. It's got Chihuahua in it. You're like, what? Because they're all related. And so basically the best thing, I tell people to save their money and give it to the rescue groups, you know, and just take better guesses at what you think they might be. Why do we need to know? You know, that does what does that solve? That if for sure it's this or that.
Rights.
Yeah, that's very true. That's true. But do bragging rights on the guesstimate. But anyway, so the thing is, though, is that, yeah, so you just got to the situation can be different on the degree of what it, you know, the degree of the heartworm and then how they treat it. And I'm not familiar with that. And that's something that I just wrote down. So I'm going to have to ask about that because I had not heard that. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well good
thank
luck.
You for your insight.
You betcha. Take care, kiddo. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Malinois cattle dog. I'd say highly improbable. But cattle dog, very smart dog, but they're very independent. And, very smart. It's an understatement. Have you ever heard of Skeet Boot? It's a cattle dog that it was phenomenal. It was a David Letterman, I don't know how many times. Everybody should Google that on YouTube, Skeet, S-K-E-T, Boot, B-O-O-T. And anyway, it's a cattle dog that is, I've never, and then the dog went blind. And he still worked the dog. It was amazing what he did with that dog. And this guy, he said he never trained a dog before. But what he did with this dog is totally, it's just a one. He had that, we all, if we're fortunate enough, have that one dog that is so phenomenal. You can't believe it, you know. And so, yeah, he had that dog, I'll tell you. He's trained a couple other ones, but Skeet Boot's the one that got all the stuff. So anyway, give a holler, 651-641-1071. Who's up?
All right, we just got 1 minute left, but we can introduce her. So
all right.
We got Sue on the line, and she is a dog with whipworm.
You, whipworm. Hey, Sue, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Apparently your dog's not.
Well, no, she's very happy. She's just happy and a little drinky, where I've just had a year of rehabbing her.
Okay.
And she also had to get spayed. She was in heat, had to get spayed. I found her, and she was in pretty bad shape. But now she's been treated for everything. But just this past couple of weeks, I'm like, wow, you just chunked up. And I had her weighed, and she's about 6 pounds heavier than her highest weight.
Ah.
And I'm just wondering, she did a last, she did two treatments for lip worm.
Yep.
And I was told that's kind of why she wasn't able to keep her weight on.
Correct.
And so I'm just kind of, I give her Farmina, and I give her just a cup and a half per meal.
Okay, why don't you hold on to that, and let's visit that when we get back, okay?
Thank
you. You bet. Okay, what is the eye color of all cats when they are born? What is the eye color of all cats when they are born? We'll be right back. Hey, folks. Thanks for tuning in to the Katie Canine Show. I'm here every Sunday, 4 to 6. I'm on this side of the glass, and we got Brian on the other side of the glass. Lucky us. Lucky him. We got glass. Okay. Oh. What color? I forgot I was doing it. You know, my husband lately has been, he's like, are you in there? And I says, well, what do you mean? He says, well, you know, all of a sudden you're doing this, and then all of a sudden you're over there. And all of a sudden I said, you know, my daughter thinks I have ADD, and I really think that she's correct. But like I said, okay, where was I? You know, my brain is just having a hard, I just said, I'm sorry. I just got too much going on that my brain doesn't know which to deal with first. Okay, what color are the cat's eyes? All cats are born with what color eyes? What would be your guess?
I would have to say green.
Nope. It's right. Blue.
Blue.
All cats are born with blue eyes. So there, now you know it. And I did not know that.
Oh.
Did not know that. So I've got a cat with blue eyes. Her name is Adeline. And her mom was, I don't know what she would, but she was part Siamese. She's a Siamese tabby. Not tabby. Siamese, like a tortoise. Tortoise shell cat. And so she's cool. They both got the exact same meow. 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 Just this little, and it's just so funny. It's not. Then I got Sally. Sally, oh my God, you need earplugs. Ow! And it's like, yeah, I know where you're at. I get it. Okay. All right, let's head back to Sue here.
Yep. So you're Sue?
Hey, Sue, are you in? There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, so now what are you now? What kind of dog?
She is a Husky Shepherd.
And well, how many pounds? Well, now.
She's 55 pounds right now, and typically...
What did he look good at? Do you remember?
Well, I mean, I kind of... This past year, she never went above 50 pounds.
Okay.
But she was... she had some weight, tooth and a weight issues where... And I don't know. I'm just wondering because I hadn't changed her food or changed quantity.
Right. Now, how old is she?
I think between 2 and 3.
Okay. Yeah. So when they get to 3 years old, all dog system hit the wall. And people, they're done growing. And now you just need to maintain. And a lot of people, what happens is that they forget to back off the food. The dog doesn't need it anymore. And then all of a sudden the dog gets plump. So now for this size, what are you feeding as far as brand?
So I do Farmina, and right now it's like lamb and pumpkin and blueberry Farmina.
Okay.
And then Woody's raw. So I kind of do a little bit of both.
Okay. And then how much of the dry food are you feeding?
A cup and a half.
Once a day? Or twice a
day.
Twice a day. Yeah, way too much. And then And how much of the Woody's do you give in the same day?
If I give her any, I just am kind of giving her like a tablespoon.
Oh, okay.
Just to kind of keep it in her diet because it's what I want to transition her into.
Okay, good.
So raw diet.
Good.
My other dog does a raw diet. I keep her, that keeps her pretty lean.
Nice. You bet. It doesn't have no carbs, you know, like the dry food does.
Yeah.
Okay, so what, yeah, that's way too much. And so what I would do for that dog, I would go, I would do a cup in the morning. When you want to get weight off a dog, you feed the bulk in the morning and a light dinner, all right?
Okay.
So you're feeding 3 cups. So then what I would like to go down to 2 cups, okay? And so what I would do is do a cup and a half in the morning and a half a cup at night. And then if you're going to give the Woody's, okay, then really be... When you make the transition... Is that what you're trying to do right now, transition it?
Yeah.
Okay. So then what you do is you do a quarter of the new to 3/4 of the old for 2-3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then 50-50 for 2-3 days. and then 3/4 of the new, 2-3 days, and then you should be all the way into the new product, all right?
Okay.
But every dog is different. You got to watch the doo-doos. If the doo-doo starts getting a little bit loose, slow down the rotation. Instead of 2-3 days, maybe go 3-4 days. Or some dogs, it's 4-5 days before you go to the next step up.
Okay.
And so being that you're familiar with feeding raw, that you want to make sure that, like I say, you feed a lot less when you feed raw than what you do when you feed kibble. Because it's more digestible. There's not the waste in it as there is in dry food. And so that's why you've got to pay attention. So what you want to do is, okay, bring her down to maybe even a cup and a half and then start, you know, like in transitioning. Then all of a sudden you'll be down to a cup of the, you know, the dry. And then, you know, so that's what you want to do. But bring the dry matter down for sure right now to at least a cup and a half. And then with your raw. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Whereas you're going to give your raw like a tablespoon or 2 tablespoons, but then make sure you start, you know, taking the dry away. All right.
Okay.
Because that'd be the big thing. And then stand her once a week. I stand my dogs, every Sunday when I get home from the radio show, I stand them. And then, so I'm standing over them. I take my pointer fingers and start on the shoulders on each side. And I run my pointer finger along the rib cage. And then it should go, you should feel each rib. Not space between them, but each rib, and then it should go into the waist, you know, and then it should come out to the hips, like an hourglass figure.
Right.
Is what it should be. And so that's why each week, feel her. And if she's, let's say, okay, now you're going to bump her down today, feel her, then bump her down today. Okay, next Sunday, let's say we're going to feel her. Now, does she feel a little leaner? Okay, you're on the right path, all right? So the whole thing is go by how she feels. Don't go by how she looks. All right.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Now, the only thing is that she does have anxiety mixed with boredom when I'm not home.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that comes down to food, because she had not a good relationship with food when I got this dog.
Mm-hmm.
I had to teach her to like food, actually. But she will chew up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm concerned. I usually keep my dogs really lean, so I'm kind of surprised that she got a little chunky. But I need to figure out what to do if she's not getting as much food as she's been having. And then I go to work, and then she chews up my house.
Well,
I do baby gate her in an area. But.
Okay, good. And yeah, she just shouldn't have run in the house. Okay.
No. Yeah, she doesn't have that.
Right. And see, you've got a radio on or TV on to kind of take boredom away. You could try giving her some, like, cauliflower to munch on. You know, things that are not calorie, that don't carry calories.
You could broccoli.
Okay, there you go. But too much broccoli gives them the fluff, so pay attention to that.
Okay.
Then there are some toys you can put the broccoli in that she can work at getting it out. Okay?
Okay.
And then the big thing is that fry... try maybe some oils, you know, like AmyWilliamDeLong.com. You know, she has oils that can help calm the dog down, you know, so you take some of that anxiety away. SpringtimeInc.com has stress-free. That works well. If you use a CBD oil, you got to make sure you use the good stuff, because a lot of people are buying the cheap stuff and say, hey, it doesn't work. Well, I know it's not going to work. you know, and so there's other things that you could try to help her deal. And then obviously training. All right. You got to get her thinking, looking to you for direction. You know, just don't run and run and run her, or walk her and walk her and walk her. Teach her brain games, brain teasers. You know, make her brain work. And then now when you're not there, she's going to be so tired. She won't have the energy. She's going to take a nap when you're not there because she's tired. Okay?
Okay.
So the more that you can make her brain think every day, teach her something. If you got a minute, do work on something. You got 5 minutes, work on something. It doesn't have to mean that you sit down for, you know, a half hour, and I don't have time to do that today, so I'm not going to do it. No. You're having a cup of coffee, work on something while you're drinking the coffee. And then now you can go do whatever you got to do. But the more you mentally stimulate this dog, the tireder she's going to be, and then she won't have the mental energy to be upside down and sideways when you're gone. Okay? Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
You betcha. Have a great day. Thanks.
You too. Bye-bye.
Sounds like she was dinging around in the car.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of dinging. But that's what people, heads up. Why do people read books before they go to bed? Because you're concentrating on the plot. So you're concentrating on the words. And so that takes a lot of brain energy. So pretty soon you're down to one eye. And then before you know it, it's morning. That's why people read books. It drains their brain. It puts them to sleep. Okay, now we don't want to put your dog to sleep, but technically. But we got, if you guys, everybody wants to run their dogs and walk their dogs. Folks, all you're doing is building an athlete. What used to take 2 blocks to Tucker, that is 10 blocks. And the thing is that most people over-exercise their dogs. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I have never played fetch with my dogs. I have never, because I don't want an arthritic dog when they're older and just really hard on their frame. So I will lob at things for the dogs to pick up because I want them to be able to go get something that I point to, pick it up, and bring it back to me. But I never play fetch with the dogs. And everybody says, oh, he loves running after it. Well, yeah, but he sees how happy you are. And what do dogs want to do? They want to make us happy. And so the thing is, though, is that you'll be really surprised if you take the time to teach tricks, brain teasers, obedience, manners, and you know that. And but you still could have a wonderful time, hugs and kisses and such like that, you know, with your dog. But the thing is, you're going to see how tired. And just like all, like I had 2 pirate lessons yesterday with high energy dogs. One was a Berta Doodle. Oh, God. Dog's name was Breezer. Cool dog. Oh, way cool dog. And big. When he stood up, yeah, he was taller than I was. But anyway, and the thing is they're like, what do we do with this energy? Use it to the betterment. Teach him tricks. Teach him brain games. Obedience. I said, this afternoon, when you go home, you're all going to need a nap. You'll probably see Breezer the calmest you've ever seen him in a long time. And all we did, we didn't put miles on the feet. We put miles on the brain. And folks, that's what you need to do. Teach, teach, teach. You know, it's not me master you dog. What it is find fun things that you can have fun with. You know, like when I'm teaching brain teasers and tricks, I use treats. Okay. But the thing is, in tiny pieces of treats. I mean, I take them, I use all the Nutrisource ones and I kind of make them like minuscule. The dog can smell that you've got it. It's almost basically he's licking it. So the thing is, and then eventually I phase it out. They always do it well, you know, with a treat. But, and so that's why it's just, I can't, you know, a lot of people that are having a lot of high energy dogs, especially with people going back to work. That we don't know what to do. We can't kennel train them. Use it when you got them. Use that brain so they're calm. Always leave a radio and or a TV on. And then, like I say, there are a lot of natural ways that you can make, you know, like rescue remedy that you can put in the water. There's so much out there to help with the transition. But folks, you got the dog. Use them. All right. Dogs are bred to do something, to have jobs. They're not just lap dogs. And when we're ready to sit down, now we want them to be calm. It doesn't work that way. All right. Is it that time?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I can't read that. Oh, there we are. How many? This is interesting. I hope Jason is watching or listening to the show today. This is really interesting. How many feral cats live at Disney? How many feral cats live at Disney? We'll be back. Never know. You got such a good radio voice.
Oh, thank you.
I wish I had. You have, like, when you're doing that bumper, you know, type thing, it's just like I would trip over my tongue, you know. Right. So, yeah, and you just are slow, steady, especially when the first bumper didn't really work, and you just not even skip a beat.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Do you know who John Hines is?
Name sounds super familiar.
Well, he used to be, you know, with, well, he still is, with Souchere. You know, in the podcast, when I first started, we were in that studio, and you know, and John, my board, you know, just like, but I'd be on that computer over there.
Oh, yeah.
And then John would come in on the other computer, the other phone, and he would do the weather and a little bit of news. Okay, that guy was implappable. We would be doing dumb things, making funny faces, and you know, just doing stupid stuff, and he wouldn't skip a beat.
Really?
It was he is just John Hines. He is so cool. All right. Okay. Where are we? Oh, how many? Yeah. How many cats? Now, the question is, how many cats live at Disney? Okay. Now, doesn't say Disney World or Disneyland, or I don't know if this is Walt Disney's house. I'm assuming it's like Disney World or Land, okay? But it just says Disney. What would you say? How many feral cats live at Disney?
Oh, geez. Is in? Could you give me a hint? Like triple digits or?
Triple digits.
Let's go with like an even 500.
Ah, wow, that'd be awesome. But anyway, no, 200.
Oh.
200 feral cats live at Disney.
Really?
Yes, 200. I just think that's, wow. You know, when you think of all the food and everything that's there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge place, right?
So, yeah, multiple parks everywhere, too. Yeah, well, I guess in Florida, but I've never been to the one in Anaheim.
I haven't been to any one of them. Nope. And Jason goes almost every other week, him and Colin. And so then he's got two fairy godmothers. Yeah, two fairy godmothers podcast. You can check on mytalk1071.com. That they do and tell you the do's and the ups and the downs and of Disney World and such like that. So that's pretty doggone cool.
Oh, cool.
Hey, we got open lines. Give a holler. 651-641-1071. That's 651-641-1071. Okay, breeders. Okay, if you're going to think about buying a pup from a breeder, first, folks, I want you to really think about this. Why do you want a puppy? Get a secondhand dog, but never mind. Okay, so then... A true good breeder that is out for the betterment of the breed has bred these puppies and brought these pups into the world, and they want the best for them. If they just say, come on, stop by, pick out what you want. No, a good breeder, number one, stands behind their dogs if there's any problems, health problems, whatever type thing. Number two is that when you drive up to meet your puppy, the puppies and the dogs should be living inside the house. If there's kids, that's a major plus because then those puppies have been handled left and right and they're just good to go. Okay, so then if you have to walk to a kennel or to a barn to meet your new pup, pay attention. What does it smell like? What does it look like? Are there lots of different sections as far as where they got a lot of different breeder dogs? So they're literally pumping up puppies left and right. All right. Then, like I said, the breeder should basically interview you where you feel like you're getting a job at the White House. Because not that you might want a job at the White House, but anyway, because like I say, they brought these pups into the world. They want the best for them. They want to make sure you are a worthy person, that you will take good care of what they chose to bring into the world and to breed so they could better the breed. Okay. Now the bad breeders are the ones that basically, you know, pick which one do you want? A good breeder, what they'll do is they'll ask you what you like to do. What's your personality like? Are you a hiker? Are you a bookworm? Are you a puzzle putter together? Are you a skier? You know what I mean? So what's your personality? Because you don't want to put a wah factor with a bookworm, all right? Remember, dogs have personalities. And that's what you're looking for, is a personality that will get along with your personality. Or if you have another dog, that dog's personality. So that's the whole thing, is all pups are cute. God knew what he was doing when he made them. But the big thing is that this is you. And look, you're going to be having future. Where's your life going to be in 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years? Is that still conducive to having a dog or a puppy? So that's why some of these people, I'm sorry, folks, some of you parents that are letting your kids get dogs when they go to college or puppies, I want to smack you, because they're in college. That's a schedule in itself. Okay. And then also too, that they're going to be wanting to party and stuff like that. Where's the dog? Where's the cat? You know, stuff like that. Now the cat's a little bit, because they're more independent. They don't mind being left in the dorm room or the house or wherever you're staying. But the thing is that no, you let them go to college, concentrate in college. And then when they get their own place someday, they can get a dog or a puppy. But yeah, I'm just people, you know what I mean? I know they're adults, but strongly ask your teenager or your college person, where do you see yourself in, you know, 2 years, 5 years? So that let them really pay attention, because it is a true commitment getting a puppy or a secondhand dog. So that's what you want to do. And then now if your breeder, like I say, is just pick out one, or the worst thing that can happen, I'll meet you on the corner of B Dale, County Road B and Dale, to save you a little bit of trip, and we'll just pass them off at that time. Boy, you run from that one, all right? What they're just doing is that it's a puppy mill dog, and it's like, here, and then they run. And a lot of the puppy mill pups, unfortunately, this is very sad, And I hope if you've been a victim of it, that you have made note to the Better Business Bureau and maybe to the Attorney General, is that they give the pups away too young. The pup is, they're saying, at 8 weeks, and it's only maybe 5 weeks, or not even 6 weeks. Because the longer the breeders, you know, these puppy mill people have the dogs, the more it costs them money. Well, then the pup gets sick, and then the pup dies. All right, now you just spent maybe $1,200, maybe $2,000. You go back for your money, and they just kind of look at you like, too bad, too sad. And so people, you, if you've been a victim of that, you need to make a stand and take these people to task by, like I say, Attorney General, Better Business Bureau, things like that. You got to get up in their faces. This is unacceptable. Just don't throw your hands up, and you're gonna be at your knees. You got this cute little puppy, maybe had it for, you know, 2 weeks, a month, and all of a sudden it's dead because it was given away. And you don't know how, well, I know, because I understand what a puppy should look like, no matter what the breed, as far as how his walking abilities is. Face and such like that at a certain amount every week. So if somebody tells me this is an 8 week old pup, I've had that happen at my dog classes. They come and say this pup is 8 weeks, and it's like, no, it's not. It might be 9 weeks. Well, the breeder said, I said, no, it's about 9 weeks. And so they have to be 12 weeks to come to my puppy classes. So anyway, so that's what I mean, is that if you don't know, you know, you're going to get ripped off, and you're going to have heartache if you don't know. But the, you know, like I say, my girlfriend Sue Baldwin, that put this question together, she sent it to me, and everybody should have this, a copy of this, to write this down. And these are questions you ask if you're going to get a breeder dog, you know, one that's been bred and now they don't want it anymore. Okay, now what Sue wrote was, tell me about her personality and her temperament. Is she shy? Is she alpha, active, blends in? What's a typical day for that breeder dog? Health, general, any issues? Okay, health of parents, any issues or any health tests for Zoe? Illness or injuries of this breeder dog? Okay, socializing with other breeds of dogs. Okay, because a lot of the breeder dogs are kept in an individual kennel, and all they do is pump out pups, and they don't know what it's like to be around other dogs, or they're in a big, huge yard with a whole bunch of other dogs, and they don't know how to be with humans. Okay, does this breeder dog have fears? If so, what? Grooming experience. A lot of these dogs have never, ever been to a groomer. This is something you got to work with and teach them. Where does the pup sleep now? Not the pup, but the breeder dog. Does he sleep out in the yard with a whole bunch of other dogs? Does he sleep in a kennel? Sleeps in your bed? Where does that dog sleep? Okay, what food is the dog eating? That's a big key. I won't go down that road. But anyway, are they used to a kennel? Okay, what kind of walks or play does this dog do? 9 times out of 10, most breeder dogs don't know nothing about a leash, and they don't know how to play because all they've done has been bred, pump out puppies, and then guess what? Then it's time to do it over again. Okay, and then time spent alone. How long, is there any issues when the dog was, you know, spent time alone? And a lot of the breeder people, well, they could care less. They're just going to find a person that doesn't care enough to ask these questions, okay? But if you don't ask these questions, now the person can give you any answer, that's true. But then that's when you go meet the dog and see what your thoughts are. Bring another dog of a friend's, you know, that's an easygoing, friendly dog, and see how that dog reacts to that dog, just to see if that breeder person was not lying to you. But the thing is go in with your eyes wide open. I'm the first one to try to save all the dogs and try to, you know, rescue the dogs. And I hope you do too, but then don't be blind. You know, go in forearmed, okay? Okay, how many cats did Abe Lincoln have in the White House? How many cats did Abe Lincoln have in the White House? Hey, open line, 651-641-1071. 651-641-1071.